Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. As we continue in our series, Understanding Suffering, we will now look into the scriptures and see that oftentimes it is our Heavenly Father Himself who is the cause of suffering and pain and hardship and difficulty. Let's open our Bible now that we may begin to learn that it is indeed our triune God that are at times the cause of our suffering and pain.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a Friday morning here in Texas. It's just a beautiful morning to be spending time with Jesus, loving on Jesus, growing to know him, growing to know his love for us, growing to obey him, growing to have deeper intimacy and relationship with Jesus. And above all, our hearts ought to be growing to be more and more pleasing to him in everything we do. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, so last time we finished the first section on this topic of understanding suffering. As I said in the first teaching, it was a three-part teaching. As I said in the first one, it really is a massive biblical subject to understand suffering. The first three teachings were explaining the origin of suffering, how suffering came about. We discussed that God had created an incredibly, overwhelmingly powerful supernatural being we call Satan. We showed how Satan became prideful and wanted to be worshiped as our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Holy Spirit are worshiped. Remember, we have one God, one being, three separate, distinct individual persons: God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus and only in Jesus that we not only have the forgiveness of our sins, deliverance from eternal hell, and that we get to go to heaven when we die, but we actually have relationship, not with God, okay? Your relationship is not with what something is. What he is God. Who he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, okay? It's the same in human relationships. You don't have relationship with what someone is. You have relationship with who they are, your friend, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband, your colleagues, right? What I am is a human being. Okay, we don't walk around relating to each other as hello, human being, hello, human being. But who I am is John. And so people who are in relationship with me, you know, relate to me as John or Johnny. So in Jesus, we actually have relationship with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ our Lord, and with the Holy Spirit. The reason I stress that is the reason we have, right, these relational terms, our Heavenly Father, right, is so that we will grow in our relationship. Our relationship grows with our Heavenly Father, not with God, right? Not the being God, that's what he is, but we grow in our relationship with who he is. And it's only in Jesus that we increasingly grow to know God the Father as our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and Master and King and Friend, and God the Holy Spirit as our guide, our counselor, and our comforter. So that was worth the price of admission, okay? If you could really understand that and begin to use the word God, which every religion has, right? And begin to replace that when you're praying or when you're talking about God, replace it with Jesus, okay? Every time you think you want to use the word God, say Jesus or Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus is certainly God, but there's infinitely, and I want to say this again, infinitely more power in the name Jesus, than in the generic word God that every religion uses. Or you could say, you know, I'm really growing to to try to hear from my Heavenly Father and grow to know Him as my Heavenly Father. Or you could say, you know, I'm trying to be led by the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, yes, our Heavenly Father is God. Jesus is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. But again, our relationship is going to grow with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ, our Lord, and with the Holy Spirit. So, okay, so again, the first section was dealing, again, with the fact that our Heavenly Father created this being. Jesus created this supernatural, incredibly powerful being called Satan. He was prideful. He wanted to be worshipped. He was thrown to the earth, obviously angry and bitter that he had been, you know, discharged from heaven, forced to be on earth. He's clearly here, right? The earth is formless. It's empty. It's just a dark, empty planet. He's already in it when, you know, in 6 days he sees creation come up around him. He can see the creation of the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve. Then you have a day of rest in day seven. And immediately, right away after that, he is tempting Eve to fall into sin, which she does by eating from the one tree she was commanded not to eat. God the Father had commanded Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam has clearly shared that with his wife, as we saw in Genesis 3. Eve knew the instructions. The devil, Satan, tempted her. She fell into sin. The first thing she does is hand some to her husband and lead him into sin. And this is where suffering comes from. All suffering of any kind, all death, all pain, all frustration, all disorder, all brokenness, everything foul, everything that stinks. And when I mean stinks, I mean just literally smells, right? Everything foul of any kind is a result of sin in the world, right? Even when we go to the bathroom and it stinks, want to hear some good news? You know, all of that too is a result of sin. The way our bodies process food, the fact that we have waste, right, that comes out of our bodies. Want to hear something cool? When you go to heaven, you won't have to go to the bathroom anymore. Isn't that kind of cool? There's not going to be anything nasty in heaven. There's not going to be anything smelly. Your eternal body, okay, your immortal body will process food. We're still going to eat, but it'll process food in a way that it doesn't produce waste that needs to be flushed and managed at facilities. Doesn't that sound good? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, so we talked about the origin of sin was the first section, and it had three parts. And so now we're going to move into the, you know, there are suffering, again, obviously as a result, as we talked about, of sin in the world. Okay, we live in a fallen world, and all suffering comes from sin. But now what are the direct causes of suffering now that sin is in the world? In this second section, we're going to deal with the fact that God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit do indeed cause suffering. Okay, so that's what we're going to deal with in this section. Now, make no mistake, the scripture is abundantly clear that our Heavenly Father is holy. He's perfect. James tells us he cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. 1 John 1, I believe it's verse 5, says God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Okay, he's perfect. But make no mistake, our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit absolutely, oftentimes, do directly cause suffering. Now, oftentimes, you know, they allow suffering. Oftentimes, our Heavenly Father will allow us to suffer, okay? But oftentimes, He'll cause us to suffer. And when you're, you know, when you are sovereign, right? When you're all-powerful, all-knowing, and omnipresent, right? When you're omniscient, that means you know everything. It's an interesting term because it means you can't learn anything. Because if I already know everything, I can't learn anything because I already know it all. Interesting word, right? When you're omnipotent, that means you're all powerful. That means you can do anything, okay, except sin or lie or cheat, right? Which is remarkable. Omnipotent, all powerful, can do anything. And omnipresent. And this is what each member of our triune God, and only each member of our triune God, okay? Again, the reason I'm consistently using these terms, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, is the more, again, we relate to God as our Father, and we get to know Him as our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and Master and King and Friend. These are all relationships we have when we're in Jesus, with Jesus. And God the Holy Spirit is our guide, our counselor, our comforter, the one who lives in us, the Holy Spirit, and grieves us. I'm consistently using these terms so you will begin to less and less use the word God. And again, it's a fine word. There's nothing wrong with it. The problem is every religion has the word God. I can't tell you how many times, it's seemingly countless when I try to explain this to people, because I'm desperate for them to grow in their relationship with God. And the only way you can do that is to grow in relationship with your Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. And that can only happen as you grow in and through Jesus Christ, right? It's only as you grow to know Jesus, to love Jesus, and to be like Jesus, that your relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will grow. But I mean, I can bang my head against a wall trying to explain this to people, and they will just resist it. They'll say things like, well, you know, when I say God, that's what I mean, is my Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. Well, which one do you mean when you say it? And again, it just goes round and round. It's not true. Okay. Yes, almost all Christians, any genuine Christian knows that Jesus is God. But again, it's for you to grow to know Him is to know Him as your Lord and Savior. Okay. I've said this before. You can go anywhere and say, God bless you, as I often do. And everyone will be okay with it. Everyone will say, hey, man, God bless you too. But if you say to somebody, you know, you're in a gas station or something, we'll say, and you say, may the Lord Jesus bless you. I mean, all of a sudden time will stop. I mean, it'll get serious, right? Because now there's real power in the name Jesus. Every religion in the world, right? Hundreds of different religions. Buddhists can say, God bless you. Hey, God bless you. Okay. Doesn't mean anything. Hindus can say, God bless you. Doesn't mean one thing. Okay. Muslims can say, God bless you. Doesn't mean anything. Okay. New age, you know, people can say, God bless you. Right. Everybody can say, God bless you. Only in Jesus is there any meaning or any power. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus, because outside of Jesus, we cannot know God in any manner or in any way. We can have literally no understanding of Him at all. So, all right. So with all that foundation laid, again, we're going to get into now just the facts that, you know, we suffer ultimately because there's sin in the world. However, now, what are the direct causes of the suffering now that sin is in the world? And the first one is that our Heavenly Father often causes suffering, okay? And we're going to show that clearly, unambiguously. It's not going to be nebulous in the scriptures. It's not going to be confusing, okay? Now, again, oftentimes we'll see our Heavenly Father allow suffering because of, you know, because of consequences for choices we've made that are not His will, because of sinful choices we've made, and He's allowing us to suffer the consequences of our sin. That'll be another section, right? When we deal with what's the direct cause of our suffering? Well, it's often because we are choosing to live in a deliberately sinful and disobedient manner to our Heavenly Father. And as the Hebrew writer makes very clear, He disciplines us for our suffering. And again, and there are just direct consequences to living in sin, you know? So again, if you go into a store and you steal something, okay, and you get caught and arrested, okay, the direct cause of that theft was that you got arrested, and now you're suffering the consequence of that by, you know, by having to, you know, pay a fine or do community service or go to jail, right, for whatever amount of time. So we're going to uncover all of these, you know, these different aspects of suffering. We can also suffer out of, you know, we can be suffering for Christ. If you're living a devout Christian life and you're really serving Jesus, our Heavenly Father may allow you to qualify for suffering for Jesus, right? We're going to see this in Job, that Job was the most righteous man in the world. And as counterintuitive as this sounds, as kind of crazy as this sounds, the more holy we are, the more we're living our lives in service to Christ, the more we're using our time, talents, and money in service for Jesus. I mean, directly serving Jesus, serving his people, talking about Jesus, having the name Jesus on your tongue, lifting up others in Jesus, being in prayer and praise and worship and thanksgiving. The more mature we become as Christians, the more we qualify to suffer for Christ, to share in the sufferings of Christ, which is a, you know, now again, all people undergo suffering, but suffering for Jesus, and we're going to have that as a, you know, as a section as well, again, is you're being allowed by our Heavenly Father to experience suffering. Jesus, when he walked the earth, experienced immense suffering, right? As we know. And then finally, you know, suffering, you know, a direct cause of suffering, you know, in our life now, can often be a spiritual attack. There are spiritual forces in the world, the devil and all the demons, and, you know, they have been given, some power to cause us to suffer, to affect our thoughts. And so we're going to look at suffering as a result of spiritual warfare, right? So these are all the different sections or topics of suffering. So, all right, well, that was a long intro, right? So where are we here? Golly. All right. So Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives, Father. We thank you that we have this incredible Bible, Father. I thank you for this wonderful Bible that you've given us, the living word of God, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can study this manual, this book, Lord. Lord Jesus, we remember that you said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And so, Father, we thank you that we can diligently study your word, that we can learn about all things. And in this case, Father, learn about not only suffering, but how and where and why you often cause us to suffer. Father, we know that you're good. You never cause us to suffer with any evil. Father, we know that if you're causing us to suffer, it's because you want us to repent. It's because you're disciplining us. You want us to live a more holy and Christ-centered life, that we might benefit your kingdom and your people, and that we might bring more glory to your name, Father, by being more pleasing to you. So, Father, we thank you for your mercy on our lives. As always, above all, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. Bless us as we begin this new section of suffering caused by God, by our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So we're going to walk through some scriptures now, and all I'll probably get through in this teaching is we're going to, let's begin by looking at the plagues. Okay. the plagues in the book of Exodus. If you turn to chapter 9, you remember that the Lord raised up Moses. Okay. Incredible story in the book of Exodus. I mean, go to Exodus chapter 1 and read the book of Exodus. And it's the incredible story of the deliverance of the Israelites, you know, out of captivity under Pharaoh and the Egyptians, where they were, you know, they were enslaved 400 years. They were slaves for 400 years to the Egyptians. And it was a brutal slavery. And the Lord raised up Moses as a deliverer, and he sent Moses to Pharaoh, right? The most powerful man in the world, right? In the earth. Obviously, he, you know, was an instrument in the hands of our Heavenly Father, right? And you're going to see that the Lord is going to bring suffering and difficulty, and you know, he's going to directly cause it on the Egyptians, and he's going to do it because of their wickedness, their disobedience, and their unwillingness to obey his commands. Okay. Their unwillingness to let these people out of slavery. And you're going to see very clearly that this suffering is directly caused by the Lord himself. Okay. By our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and God, the Holy Spirit. All right. So we're going to go to the first plague. We're going to jump to Exodus 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses and donkeys and camels, and on your cattle and sheep and goats.'" Verse 4, "But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die." Pretty remarkable. Okay, so that was not ambiguous. The Lord said he would do it. He would cause the plague, right, for all these livestock to die, but he would make sure not one of the livestock of the Israelites would die. Again, only God could do this, right? Look at verse 5. "The Lord set a time and said, 'Tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land.'" Now, that ought to give us some pause right there, okay? Because, you know, Pharaoh is refusing to let the Israelites go. And this statement right here, "The Lord set a time and said, 'Tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land.'" And so what I'm saying is, in the fear of the Lord, sometimes there's a terminus. Sometimes the Lord will set a time and give us an opportunity to repent. If Pharaoh had willingly, when Moses came to him, gave him more than enough proof, gave him immense proof that the Lord God had sent him, but yet Pharaoh still refused to let the people of Israel go. He made their slavery harder and worse. If Pharaoh would have simply listened and, you know, and did what the Lord had commanded through Moses, none of this had to happen. But here it is now. This is going to be the beginning of these plagues. And I mean, it's caused by the Lord. Okay. Again, there is a problem in the church today that you know, we want to say that God is good, and somehow the fact that he actually does at times cause suffering in all people for his own purposes, for our betterment, for our growth, for our maturity, oftentimes to spare us. Okay. The same way you cause suffering to your children when you discipline them. It doesn't mean you're not good, y'all. Again, there are many Christian denominations who for whatever reason cannot see in the scriptures that there certainly is a time where the Lord allows suffering. There's no doubt of that. every bit of suffering that's ever happened, he allows, okay? Because he has all power. He could stop it. But there are times he directly causes it. And we're going to see again, when you're omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, you know, it's not a big line between causing and allowing either. So, all right, where are we here? I gotta find my clock. All right, so golly, I got 5 minutes left in this teaching. So, all right. The Lord set a time, verse 5, Exodus 9, tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land. So again, what I want to say there is if there's some sin in our life that the Holy Spirit is bringing to us right now, the good news is we can repent. We can say, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I've been living prideful. You know, Lord, I know I've been a little selfish. Lord, I know that I'm impatient. Lord, I know that I've been living in whatever sin you're living in, right? Say you've been lying or cheating or living in sexual immorality, whatever it is, okay? The Lord could set a time and all of a sudden life starts getting difficult. You fall into some kind of suffering, spiritual, physical, emotional suffering, financial hardship, relational suffering. And oftentimes it's because the Lord set a time, he's been waiting for you to repent. You haven't repented, and Jesus is now, he now got the belt out, right? Mm. The Lord set a time and said, tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land. Verse 6, and the next day the Lord did it. The Lord keeps his word. This is why we ought to fear the Lord, okay? All the livestock of the Egyptians died. Do you hear that? All the livestock of the Egyptians died, okay? The livestock, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the cattle, and the sheep, and the goats, all dead. Okay? Just rolled over dead. But not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Incredible, right? Verse 7, Pharaoh sent men to investigate and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Now, you think that would be enough. You really do think that would be enough. Most of us would probably say, okay, let me read the verse again. Pharaoh sent men to investigate, okay? Because people are telling him that all our animals died. Remember, Moses just told him, let the people go. Pharaoh says no. Moses says, this is what's going to happen. The Lord has set a time, and tomorrow this is going to happen. Pharaoh hears it. He's not stupid, right? Pharaoh sent men to investigate and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. You think he'd have said, I give. Okay, I get it, Lord. Boom. You're God. Let him go. Verse 7, yet his heart was unyielding and he would not let the people go. All right, we're going to stop there. We'll get into the next plague. The next time, the plague of boils, right? Which, again, Pharaoh himself and all the people are going to break out. All the Egyptians, the Lord is going to strike them with boils, right? You know, boils all over their body, festering, oozing out pus, right? And it's remarkable. And we're going to see again, it's the Lord that's causing this suffering. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, I don't like suffering. I don't like difficulty. I don't like hardship. And much of that is because I'm a baby, even though I know that it's good for me, Lord. Similar to children who don't enjoy discipline. And Father, your word says no hardship seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But it does produce a harvest of righteousness for those who are trained by it. So I ask you to help us, Father, to be trained by the suffering and the difficulty and the hardships that you either cause or allow in our lives. Father, we thank you again that we have this wonderful Bible that although suffering is difficult and hard, that we can get an understanding as we study your word as to how and why we're suffering. And Father, above all, that if it's a result of just our own disobedience, that we would all quickly repent. Holy Spirit, I ask you to convict us one and all now to earnestly repent this day, Lord, to slowly move in a process of repentance over the areas of disobedience in our life a little bit more each day. Holy Spirit, seal this message to our hearts now, and we thank you for it. Give us eyes, we pray, to see Jesus, ears to hear him, hearts to know and understand him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.